Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Living in Awe of God, a series from the book of Exodus. In this session, we'll be looking at Exodus chapter 32, verses 7 to 14. God answers prayer. God was angry with the Israelites after they made the golden calf to worship. Threatened to destroy them and make a new nation out of Moses. Acting as intercessor for the Israelites, Moses pleaded with God to relent and not destroy his people. Scripture says that God changed his mind and turned away from the punishment he had threatened against Israel. Let's turn to that account in Exodus chapter 32, verses 7 to 14. This text tells us three things about God. First, God is aware of everything. Verse 7, "And the Lord said to Moses, go get down, for your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves." Nothing escapes God's eyes. Nothing is beyond the scope of his knowledge. God knew what Israel was about to do. So the golden calf was no surprise to him. Throughout Scripture, we learn that God is omniscient. He knows all things. There is nothing hidden from him. Job 34 and verse 21 says, "For his eyes are on the ways of men, and he sees all his steps." Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 reminds us, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give accounts." Not only does he know all things, but God is everywhere all at the same time. This is what Psalm 139, verses 1 through 12 tell us. "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as day. The darkness and light are both alike to you. Nothing we think, nothing we do, nothing we see, nothing we experience is beyond him. He is aware of it all. Every time we say something which is displeasing to God, every time an unkind word comes from our mouths about another Christian, every time we do something which we know would offend the Holy Spirit, every time we sin, even in the smallest and seemingly unnoticeable ways, God is there and he is aware. There is nowhere we can go to escape his presence and his knowledge. Second, God is jealous of relationships. Verses 8 through 10. "They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.' And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, leave me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. Earlier, God made it clear, He would not accept divided loyalty. He wanted all of their devotion. He would not share it with anyone. Exodus 20, verses 4 through 6. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. This commandment is what they had broken by making the golden calf and bowing down and worshiping it. The word translated jealous doesn't mean that God is suspicious, distrustful, or wrongly envious of them. When it's used to describe God, it speaks of exclusive devotion, and it promises action against those who commit spiritual adultery, those who have sworn to be faithful to Him, but have given their love, devotion, and worship to another God. Paul repeated this point in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 21 and 22. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Before we judge the Israelites harshly, we need to realize that we too can be quick to put our trust and allegiance in places other than in the Lord. Remember the hymn, O to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. And then third, God is attentive to prayer. Verses 11 down to verse 14. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, He brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Aaron, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. So the Lord relented from the harm which He said He would do to His people. God answers prayer, and the Bible records prayer first in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. Prayer never informs God of anything He does not already know. But prayer does change things. Prayer often brings about results that would have otherwise been different. God hears our prayers and intervenes in time and space. He gets involved in our lives and changes things in response to our petitions. Look at four characteristics of Moses' prayer that made it work. It was personal. While God can answer the prayers of anyone, He wants the only people whose prayers He has promised to hear and answer are those who are in relationship with Him. Moses walked with God and talked with God, and God revealed himself to Moses in a greater way than any other human has ever known. The better your relationship with God, the more powerful your prayer will be. And the more powerful your prayer life is, the better your relationship with God will be. Then second, Moses' prayer was purposeful. So much prayer lacks specifics. We pray that God would bless all the missionaries, would help the poor and comfort the afflicted. That's not how Moses prayed. He had a specific purpose in mind when he prayed. It was intentional. He went to God with a purpose weighing heavily on his heart. Our prayers need to be more like rifle shots than shotgun blasts. Instead of scattered and aimed at nothing, Moses' prayers were focused on specific things. And it was positional. Moses used his role as intercessor and mediator to go to God on behalf of the people. He understood the position he had, and as he prayed out of that position. And it was passionate. Verse 32 records Moses as saying, "Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book, which you have written." Moses was passionately involved with the people he was leading. What a testimony. James chapter 5, verse 16, the second part of it, down to verse 18. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Passionate prayers are powerful prayers. God hears our prayers, and he answers them. You think about that, and you have a great day.